Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
This is not a negotiation. I'm running this team because the Reinsdorfs want me to, and I'm going to run it that I think is best.
And your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
I think your play is embarrassing. The pro player thing, this is basketball.
Follow Locked On Bulls on social media. On Twitter, at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Pat. And on Facebook, at Facebook.com/LockedOnChiBulls.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Locked On Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day, streaming live on Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, and the Dash Radio app. I'm the Nothing But Net channel every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. Our text and voicemail line's at 331-979-1369. I'm your host, Jordan Malley. Along with me is Matt Peck. You can follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Back here, happy Friday to all of Bulls Nation, headed into the All-Star break, All-Star weekend. So thanks for checking out the episodes this week. It has been one crazy week. And if you checked out our episode yesterday, Bulls Mailbag, we do it every single week. Had to record that one a little bit early. Matt had to catch a flight to Houston, so I'm riding solo.
Guess who's back? Holla at your boy!
Yes, Stephen A. would say, holla at your boy. But yes, Matt will be back next week, so I'm riding solo today. But we've got plenty to talk about. Want to talk about the Grizzlies' win heading into the All-Star break and Otto Porter's career night at the United Center on Wednesday night. So we'll get into that. Bobby Portis had some things to say following through on the craziness that happened last weekend and following up on the trade deadline. So we'll get into some of that. And then just some other things to clean up before the weekend and the All-Star game hits. Lauri Markkanen will be playing in the Rising Stars Challenge tonight, so that should be interesting. This is back-to-back years that he'll be playing in that. So we'll touch on that and maybe even take some texts and some of your questions too. Clean up some of those from the text and voicemail line. So you can always drop those, 331-979-1369, text and voicemails there, or on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, or on our Facebook page, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. But yeah, we're going to get weird here. We're going to get weird on this Friday. Try to explain what happened in this Grizzlies game, because you know what? Let's first start here. This fan base, this team in general is so much more fun to talk about, so much more exciting to watch when they're actually winning, when they're actually playing at a high level.
No shit.
And you're probably sitting there listening to this saying, well, no shit, Jordan. Yes, of course, they're more fun to watch and they're more exciting to pay attention to when they're actually playing well. Yes, I know that. But the excitement on Twitter, at least on Wednesday nights, was a lot more fun than maybe the last 6 weeks has been.
No shit, Sherlock.
And regardless, if you're on the side of you want this team to tank and this wasn't exactly lining up with your thoughts of how this season should be going and if the Bulls should be stacking up losses, let's talk about this game. Let's talk about the way that this team has been playing over the last four games since inserting Otto Porter into the lineup and even extending beyond that. Let's talk about how this team has been playing in February. So, Bulls and Grizzlies, coming off the loss to the Bucks, where the Bulls, I thought, played halfway decently well against a really, really good Bucks team. The Bulls came out on Wednesday night. Otto Porter, first of all, 37 points, a career high for Otto Porter Jr. First of all, Otto Porter Jr. has never taken 20 shots in a game before. Never. In the 5.5 seasons he's been in the NBA, he has never once taken 20 shots in a game. It took him 4 games to do that in a Bulls uniform. 16 for 20, 3 for 5 from 3, 37 points, 10 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 block, 2 turnovers, a plus 21 in the plus minus in 34 minutes. Love to see that. Otto Porter Jr. not only putting the ball in the basket, ball did go in the hoop, ball did go in the hoop. But he's making plays on the defensive side of the ball. How about that switch underneath the basket he made early on in the first half? Underneath the basket, trying to guard a big, sees the switch, moves off the big, goes to the corner, makes a block on a three-point attempt.
This Valanciunas wide open. Valanciunas out to Carter, flip to the corner, blocked.
And Otto Porter covered a lot of ground.
He
whipped this shot. Now watch, freeze it right here. He's playing defense right there. Go ahead and roll it. He's going to come clear across here. That's hustle right there. And gets the block with that long.
That shot up.
There it is. Like he was in the gym on a Sunday afternoon
right.
by himself.
Those little things we're seeing now is spreading everything out. And just, you're getting an idea of who Otto Porter the player is and why the Bulls traded for him. And for so long this season, you're understanding what the Bulls were missing. Now, I'm trying to temper my expectations here. And this is not a knock on Otto Porter either. It's just, four-game sample size is still very small. But we're seeing some things. Maybe this is a question now of, was Otto Porter really blocked by Bradley Beal and John Wall? Is this an indictment on John Wall now? You know, we just saw Kelly Oubre just drop 28 points for the Suns last night. Two wings, young wings that the Wizards had that seemingly couldn't figure it out with the Wizards, all of a sudden get dealt to other places and now we're starting to slowly prosper. Again, small sample size for Otto Porter, but him coming to this team and now opening things up, it's hard to deny being excited to see how he's playing alongside Zach LaVine and Lauri Markkanen. And I think we're tending to forget, too. Now, we won't get to see this until next year, but I'm very excited to see once Wendell Carter Jr. is be inserted into the starting lineup, what that's going to look like as well. On top of that, let's talk really quickly about Zach LaVine. This month of February, I think Zach LaVine, watching his game and outside the box score of last night, or Wednesday night, I should say, 5-for-10, 1-for-3 from the three-point line, 4-for-4 from the free throw line, 6 rebounds, 7 assists. He was a plus 25 in the plus minus. He only had 4 turnovers, 15 points. And for this longest time during the stretch of November where he had his worst month, he was shooting 39% from the field, chucking up 19 to 20 shots a game. High turnover rates, not a whole lot of assists. Everybody was like, what is he doing? Can he pass? Does he have terrible basketball IQ? Some fans were even asking if he's kind of a ball hog. I never bought into that idea either. I was like, I don't think that that's the case with Zach LaVine. I think there's maybe some lack of trust in not knowing if he can trust the guys out on the floor. Does he know that he's got other guys out there that can knock down shots? Or does he feel like he's the only one on this team that can score? That can get to the bucket and feel like he can keep this team in the game? And that's been a question going into January, too. You know, we talked about that with Chris Dunn, Lauri Markkanen, and Zach LaVine. At times, it felt like every time they were coming down in their half-court offensive sets, it seems like they all were taking turns trying to go in isolation, and each one of them were getting a chance and an opportunity to try and score. And now that looks slowly different. It doesn't seem like each one of them are taking a turn. It seems like it's just whoever's open, and it doesn't look like they're thinking so much about it. So that's really good to see. I'm watching Zach LaVine as he's attacking the basket. He's not tunnel visioned on just trying to get to the hoop and throwing up a shot. Like, for the first time looking at the film of this Grizzlies game specifically, he's got his head up and his eyes looking around for another pass, and he was making and dishing off passes to Porter, passes to Markkanen. Instead of just trying to chuck up a shot with two defenders in his face or trying to draw a foul, those are slow, steady improvements that I'm loving seeing from Zach LaVine, and I hope that continues. A couple other things I've got from this game real fast. Robin Lopez, how about him? You know, since the trade deadline, I'm looking at his stats real fast. You know, since John Paxson came out and said, you know, we're not really looking heavy at the buyout market. You know, we haven't had conversations with Robin Lopez's agent about a buyout. They haven't approached us, you know, vice versa. The last four games, Robin Lopez is 31 for 46 from the field, shooting 67.4%. 67.4%. And he's averaging 18 points per game. 18 points per game and like 4.5 rebounds a game. So I had to laugh. And watching Robin Lopez absolutely murder guys on Wednesday, he's playing FU basketball right now. And I don't know if this is the case of wanting to showcase himself to other teams and say, you know what, fine, you don't want to buy me out this for the rest of the year, fine, but I'm going to showcase myself to every other team out there and say, I can still start. I can still play quality minutes on a competitive team. I'm not a bum that's going to sit at the end of the bench. But the biggest question of it all, speaking of the way that this offense is flowing, the way that this team has looked, because I had a question. Besides Otto Porter Jr. just lighting up the United Center on Wednesday night and making Michael Reinsdorf draw up rough draft plans of a future statue somewhere outside of the United Center, I had one big question after watching this game and rewatching the film on it. What does it say to you guys? Does it say more about how poorly Chris Dunn has played over the last 6 weeks, now that we saw how this offense and this team has played without him for just one game? I know, small sample size. Or does it say more about what this team needs in terms of a point guard? Because while Ryan Arcidiacono did play really well with this team in there, with him in there in the starting lineup, and he had 11 assists on Wednesday night and one turnover, and he only had 2 points, this team looked better than ever. And partly that comes on a career night from Otto Porter Jr. in it, helped that Zach LaVine only took 10 shots and was looking to pass the ball a lot. What do you guys think it is? Is it more of an indictment on Chris Dunn and maybe speaking more volumes about his fit in the starting lineup with some of these other players? Or is it more about just the fact that the culmination of the other guys that are on this starting lineup, that maybe Chris Dunn's role with this starting unit is just more and more not fitting? Because it's not about Ryan Arcidiacono. While he did do a great job on Wednesday night, and it is the Memphis Grizzlies, gotta factor that in too. They're the sixth worst team in basketball right now. Having a point guard that doesn't want to shoot, or isn't going to shoot at a high clip, or doesn't need to command the ball a ton, doesn't need to get up 10, 12 shots in a game, and is willing to pass, that's exactly what we need. That's why I think the Bulls were talking about going and looking at Rubio, going and looking at Collison, guys that are going to pass. So maybe that is something that the Bulls are going to look at this summer. And maybe that's what they should look at. And maybe that's what they're looking at the draft. Speaking of the draft, John Paxson at Murray State's game last night against Austin Peay. That's the third game in a row now that they've gone and scouted Ja Morant. By the way, I've been watching some tape on Ja Morant. Man, he's impressive. He's filthy. I mean, the vision and the passing and the basketball IQ is crazy. And he does still have some raw skills. Like, he can get kind of crazy and out of control when he's going to the basket. But man, does he throw his body around the floor all the time? If Jim Boylan stays, and I'm knocking on wood right now that I hope he doesn't, but he's the exact type of player Paxson and Jim Boylan would love, because he just gives it all on the floor every single night. Will throw his body around. He's got that certain type of swagger too to him. He's got the confidence. The dude can shoot threes from anywhere too. So yeah, whether they fill that role in the draft this summer, lose out on Zion, they end up somewhere between 2 and 4, Ja Morant goes, they might have to look at free agency. Ryan Arcidiacono is not that guy, but a player like Archie may be the solution, and you see it more and more. Now we need a bigger sample size than that, and once Chris Dunn gets back and healthy, they're going to put it back in the starting lineup. I'm very curious to see what the decision is this summer and how they handle that with him. And maybe for Chris Dunn's career, maybe it is better that they have that hard conversation with him, and obviously he's not going to want to hear that either. We'll see. Maybe it is a good decision for him if he goes to the second unit and runs that. He can be the main ball handler, be a scorer off the bench, be that facilitator. Just some ideas to think about. Obviously, for him being a number five pick in the lottery, being a guy you just acquired for Jimmy Butler, being a part of that package, like those are all things that would scream like, okay, that's not great. And coming into a contract year two, a demotion like that would be killer. But we'll have to find out. You guys tell me, though, what did you see from Wednesday night when you saw Archie Diakono go in there and the way that this team played as opposed to Chris Dunn being in the lineup? Just kind of wrapping this whole thing up as a whole, I thought this was a really good game again. Not only for the Bulls, but if you're freaking out about the tank, look, try to repeat this again, and I understand if you're a little bit frustrated about where the Bulls are positioning themselves. This is what I will say again. Before last night, the Knicks and the Suns were combined on a 33-game losing streak. Combined. The Knicks had lost 18 in a row. The Suns had lost 15 in a row. At this point, it's almost impossible for the Bulls to catch either one of those for the top two spots in the lottery standings. And let's remind ourselves, too, for some of our new listeners or for some NBA, for some casual NBA fans who aren't aware of the lottery odds changing. 1 through 3, lottery odds have flattened. 1 through 3 in the lottery odds standings are all the same. 14% chance at the number one overall pick. All have the same odds at a top four pick at 52.1%. Where the Bulls currently sit at number four, have a 48.1% chance at a top four pick. And it only decreases by 1.5% at a number one overall pick at 12.5%. Now look, beating the Grizzlies, who sit at the sixth worst record in the NBA right now, not the greatest in the world, but it's fine. What I said at the beginning of the season too, and a lot has changed since then, is, and Matt and I had different philosophies on this, was I'd rather see the in our best guys, Zach LaVine, Lauri Markkanen, Wendell Carter Jr., the guys on our team that we're building towards, I want to see them develop and take steps forward and actually playing well together and developing chemistry together, as opposed to just losing games out. You don't need to be the worst team in the league. You don't need to have that number one spot anymore because it doesn't put you at any more of an advantage than being the number three team, having that number three spot. The odds are the exact same. So I don't think the freakout needs to be necessarily, there doesn't need to be a panic yet. The Bulls right now sit at 2 games behind Cleveland for that third spot. That would put them at the same odds as Cleveland, or the same odds as the Suns, and the same odds as the Knicks. The Knicks just won last night, which was very odd, and that didn't really help the Bulls out either because they beat the Atlanta Hawks, who are sitting at 5th behind the Bulls. The Atlanta Hawks right now are at 19-39. The Bulls still have a 5-game lead on them with the 4th spot. So 5 games ahead of the Hawks from slipping from 4 to 5. The Hawks have been playing really good. They're 4-6 over the last 10. I don't see that changing. Look at the Bulls bench. Look at the bench players. I know if you take a look at the way that the Bulls had to play against the Grizzlies just to scrape out a win last night or Wednesday night, I don't know if it can continue the way that Boylan is playing the minutes load on these guys. But maybe he will. We'll find out, though. We'll find out. I don't think the freakout is necessary right now. Only two games separate the Bulls and Cleveland. And Cleveland just took the Nets to double overtime on Wednesday. And they lost in incredible fashion to the Nets, of course. But they just got Kevin Love back, so we'll find out what happens. There's still a good chunk of games to watch, but you guys tell me. What's more important? These last stretch of games, 27 games left to play this season, seeing Zach LaVine, Lauri Markkanen, Otto Porter Jr., and maybe even Chris Dunn try to find some chemistry, continue to play well, continue to develop, take some of those steps forward, and maybe pick up a couple wins here and there, or just lose out and look really bad and maybe even look like the Bulls did look in January when they went on that 10-game losing streak. What's worse? And what happens if you do that and you don't even get Zion? And that's not me being negative or pessimistic. That's just being realistic. So consider your options here. And understand that the lottery odds have changed. They've flattened. And understand, too, that the Knicks and the Suns have gone on these incredible losing streaks, and their rosters are way worse than the Bulls are. But the Bulls do have some saving grace in what their bench looks like, so it'll be interesting to see the way that things play out here. Cross our fingers, we're going into All-Star break. Have a little bit of positivity running into this game. Got to take a short break here on Locked On Bulls, but when we come back, I'm going to talk a little bit about this Bobby Portis interview that he did with Hoops Hype and Alex Kennedy. Run through some of those quotes and see what he had to say. So talk about that and run through a couple other topics before we get out of here for the weekend. Hit us up 331-979-1369 on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malian, at Bulls underscore Peck. Stay with us here at Locked On Bulls. Be back in 60 seconds. Before we get back to more Locked On Bulls, we have an important favor to ask you. We'd like your help. We put together a survey so we can learn more about our listeners like you and make your favorite Locked On podcasts even better. This is your opportunity to tell us what you like and tell us what you don't like. It should take about 15 minutes to complete. By participating, you enter a chance to win $250 Vivid Seats gift card. Just visit lockedonpodcast.com/survey to participate. That's lockedonpodcast.com/survey. We appreciate all of your feedback, and now back to Locked On Bulls. All right, back here on Locked On Bulls, 331-979-1369 is the place to hit us up. Text and voicemails. Going into All-Star break, kind of crazy. The Bulls don't have a game until February 22nd. February 22nd. I know Matt and I kind of joked that we needed a little bit of a break, but this spark of energy coming off this Grizzlies game and watching Otto Porter Jr. just absolutely light it up and watching Zach LaVine play well and Lauri Markkanen play well, it's like, you know, you struggle with both sides. It's like, finally, for once, we're seeing the Bulls play somewhat decently well, and the young players are finally hitting their stride, and of course, we get this long break. So, you play both sides, but you get to see at least one Chicago Bull play well tonight, or at least play in a game tonight, and that'll be Lauri Markkanen in the Rising Stars Challenge. That'll be on tonight. That's Friday. So watch that. Lauri Markkanen showcase his skills. Because I feel like the NBA has forgotten a little bit about Lauri Markkanen because of his injury, and they didn't get to see his full skills for the first 11 weeks, and then the slow start coming back, and you know, the Bulls just kind of being the laughing stock that they were throughout the season and just all of the dysfunction going on here. But a little showcase for Lauri Markkanen will be great to see. So catch that tonight if you're not doing anything, or if you're out at a bar or you're gathered with friends. Just flip that on and watch Lauri Markkanen showcase his skills again in the Rising Stars Challenge. But on to the other topic I wanted to talk about today, because Matt and I did not get to this on Wednesday, and while we recorded our mailbag segment, we didn't get to talk about this either. But this dropped right after our episodes, and it's an article from Hoops Hype, courtesy of Alex Kennedy. He did an interview with Bobby Portis, just talking about the crazy week throughout the trade deadline and how he found out about whether or not he was going to be traded, how he found out about it, what went through his head, his feelings after the trade went on. And so I just want to read a couple different snippets from this interview and just what you guys think. And I'm going to give you guys my short take on it, and then I think we can kind of put this to rest. You know, a lot of fans are saying, well, why are we giving so much attention to Bobby Portis? And, you know, yes, he was a guy here for 4 years, but he wasn't Jimmy Butler. He wasn't Derrick Rose. He wasn't Michael Jordan. He wasn't Scottie Pippen. I understand that, but, you know, it all adds up. So let's just get to the interview first. So here's the first question that was asked from Alex Kennedy. It says, when did you first learn about the trade to Washington, and what was your initial reaction? Bobby Portis. It's been a crazy 2 weeks. On Sunday before the trade deadline, I was seeing rumors and stuff on Twitter and on Instagram, so I called my agent and asked him, am I in trade talks? My agent immediately called Gar Forman, who is the GM of the Bulls. Gar Foreman said, no, it would have to be a blockbuster trade. If we were getting a superstar like LeBron James or Kevin Durant, then yeah, we'd trade Bobby. But otherwise, no, we're not trading Bobby. So Tuesday comes around and I'm at a G League game when my agent called me. He said, we got a call from Gar and Bulls VP of basketball operations, John Paxson, and they were asking questions like, does Bobby really want to be here? Does Bobby love being a Bull? Is he fine with his role? I've been having a good year, and I guess they were trying to see if I still wanted to be in Chicago. And obviously, my answer was yes. Who doesn't want to play for the great city of Chicago? Who doesn't want to play at the United Center and be a Bull? On Wednesday, I'm thinking, I know for sure that I'm going to be a Bull after the trade deadline. We had a game that night, so I went through my pregame routine, got taped up, put my jersey on, and sat in the locker room. 23 minutes before the game started, one of the coaches told me that our head coach, Jim Boylan, wanted to talk with me. I walked into his office, and I see Gar, Pax, and Coach Boylan. They told me that they had agreed in principle to trade me. I asked, where am I going? Then they were hesitant to say. Then they finally said, the Wizards. He said, my heart dropped, my stomach dropped, I didn't know what to think. I went back to the locker room, I was just hugging everybody, shaking hands with everyone. Everybody was in shock because nobody knew I was going to be traded. That wasn't even a thought anyone knew. That wasn't even a thought anyone had considered because they loved me there. It was a crazy feeling that my phone started going haywire, so I guess that's when the news dropped and everybody found out. So that's one. Let's keep going. Alex Kennedy follows up with, I saw some of your tweets after the deal and I could tell you were upset with how this played out. Did the fact that the front office said you wouldn't be dealt make it hurt more? Bobby Portis. Yeah, it really hurts. They told me how much they valued me. That I was a part of our core and that I was in the long-term plans. They told me how much they loved my energy, my heart, how hard I worked, how much I loved playing for the Bulls. Them telling me that I'm going to be there through the deadline and telling me that they wanted to work things out this summer in restricted free agency. We weren't going to be able to agree to a contract extension before the October 15th deadline, but they said they wanted to agree to something this summer before free agency hits. I think back on everything that they told me. All this stuff was said, and then I don't even get notified when I'm getting traded. It's just a crazy feeling. I guess I'm getting my first taste of the business. Business is business, I guess. I just don't think it was done the right way. So I'm going to stop there. I'm going to give you a take on that. This is exactly what I asked Matt Tuesday and Wednesday of last week when we talked about this. You know, we were debating back and forth. I said, are the Bulls going to do anything? You know, the most valuable piece I think the Bulls have on this roster before this Otto Porter deal went through was Bobby, you know? Going to restricted free agency, don't know how much money he's going to get. Don't know if the Bulls are going to retain him because you have Lowry, you've got Wendell. Are you going to pay him the amount of money he's going to want to be the sixth man on your bench? Is that really the right move? But we also didn't hear a peep about any team being interested in him. We didn't hear a peep about the Bulls shopping him. And then John Wall gets hurt. That was what, Monday of last week? And then sure enough, the calls came in on Tuesday to Bobby, asking him all these questions. I asked Matt, I said, are you sure that Bobby didn't know? Or that Bobby had an inclination that he may get traded this deadline? Even excluding the Otto Porter thing. Like, had any hint that his name was going to be floated out there in deals? And of course, the front office is in a difficult situation where they've got to play both sides. They've got to test the market to see what's out there for Bobby. But at the same time, they've got to make their player feel comfortable and make sure that he isn't feeling nervous. You know, so they've got to make him feel comfortable and say, no, of course, Bobby's not going to be included in any package for anybody but a superstar. But you toe the line of that. When you tell a player one thing and then turn around, 48, 72 hours after and then deal him? It's the optics of the whole thing, and it goes back to that. Yes, business is business, but Bulls haven't been the greatest with optics over the last, 5, 6 years, even maybe beyond that. He saw it on Twitter and saw it on Instagram, called his agent, had his agent ask, and they told him no, unless it was for a superstar. And then 48 hours later, things do change, and they do change relatively quickly. I think just Bobby was upset because he wanted to stay here, and then it all changed very quickly. I can see it from both sides, but the trade did go down with little notification on Wednesday of him going to the lockers and, you know, suiting up and then all of a sudden getting called to the office and saying you're getting traded. I mean, to me, I feel like there's a better way to do that. For Bobby's sake, who's been with the team for 3.5 years, it was a guy you drafted in the first round. And you got to do what you got to do, what's best for the organization, and I understand that, but optically, this didn't look great. It didn't. So, let's keep going, though, because Bobby did say nice things about the Bulls organization, and I don't want this to sound bitter on his side, because I don't think it does. Two more comments. I've talked to some players. This is from Alex Kennedy. I've talked to some players who are really motivated after getting traded. Some guys want to show their former team that they made a mistake. For some guys, the change of scenery lights a fire under them. You've been playing really well. Did the trade motivate you? Bobby Portis. Yeah, it did. I feel like I was playing well before the trade, putting some good games together and putting up some big numbers in limited minutes. I was doing my thing while doing whatever was asked of me and just playing the game the right way. I've always been motivated, though. Getting traded gave me a bit of extra motivation. What did really motivate me was seeing some of the comments made by the Bulls GM and the press. They were talking about not wanting to pay me and that kind of stuff. All that stuff really motivates me. It makes me want to be a better player. It makes me want to go out there and prove everybody wrong. I'm always going to play with a chip on my shoulder. I play with a log on my shoulder. I've never been the first guy picked. I've never been the first guy wanted. This all makes me even hungrier. And I'm appreciative of this new opportunity in Washington. So then the final question that I want to hit on here is from Alex Kennedy. The Bulls have the NBA's fourth worst record, and they've dealt with drama too. It was widely reported that some players were frustrated with Jim Boylan and even thought about skipping a practice to send a message. I know you didn't want to be traded, but is it kind of nice to get away from those issues in Chicago? Bobby says, I don't have anything negative to say about anyone in the Chicago Bulls organization. They're a first-class organization, and they do everything the right way. We were a young team. We were the youngest team in the NBA. Our average age was 24 years old. Man, that's really young for an NBA team. Things obviously happen. Players get hurt. Players get moved. I think injuries really dictated our season this year. We had myself, Lauri Markkanen, and Chris Dunn hurt during the first month to month and a half of the season, which kept us from getting off to a strong start. Later on, we would try to gel, and then another player would get hurt, from Zach being out to myself getting hurt again to Wendell Carter Jr. going down. We never had our full team, so we never saw our full strength. Lord knows how good we could have been had those injuries never happened. So I think taking all of that into perspective, and then also reading some of the comments he made on Twitter, too, following up from this, just taking it all into perspective, I don't think Bobby has any ill will towards what the Bulls collectively and his time here and his love for Chicago. I still believe full-heartedly that he believes the Bulls are a full first-class organization. I really do. I just think this single event, this single situation, the way he found out about trades, him finding out about the rumors, him being included in deals, the whispers, the rumors on Instagram, Twitter, him calling his agent, asking, them following up with the GM, with Paxson, with Gar, them turning around saying that only LeBron James, Kevin Durant, or a superstar would be the reason why they would trade Bobby, and then 72 hours you're traded for Otto Porter Jr., and not being notified until you're called into the office while you're suiting up for a game on Wednesday. I think that's what he was mad about. Just one single situation on the way out is what he is upset about. And that's what he means by not done the right way. That doesn't mean his 3.5 years here means everything turns sour. I think that's what he's getting at here. But again, back to the main theme of this entire thing is optically another player not happy with the way that things have ended here. overall, really good experience, and Bobby had a really good time and liked everything that happened here. But this one single situation, not great, and that was at the end of his time here as a Chicago Bull. All right, let's lighten the mood for the last couple of minutes here on Locked On Bulls. I got some pretty funny stats. Let's get real petty with this for a couple minutes. So Otto Porter through four games, 90 points for the Bulls, 36 for 58, 62.1% shooting with the Bulls, 11 for 19 from three, 57.9%, 71.6 effective field goal percentage, and a 72.6 true shooting percentage. Now, would you guys like to know where that true shooting percentage ranks among players? This is reaching, but I don't even care because it's funny. I just had to look at guys averaging 30 or more minutes a night over this four-game stretch since Otto Porter's been at Bull. What the true shooting percentage was of players during this stretch. So 30 or more minutes a night during this four-game stretch since being a Bull, where he ranks among NBA players. So there's 82 players that qualify. Otto Porter has the fourth best true shooting percentage during this four-game stretch. The only three players better than Otto Porter right now, Joe Harris, J.J. Redick, and Karl-Anthony Towns. Joe Harris, 84.1% true shooting percentage. J.J. Redick, 75.5%. Karl-Anthony Towns, 74.5%. Otto Porter comes in at 72.6%. Jimmy Butler rounds out the top five at 71.1%. So Otto Porter, if we're going to get real petty with this, Otto Porter is a better true shooting percentage in the last four games than Kevin Durant, Jimmy Butler, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Rudy Gobert, Paul George, Blake Griffin, Bradley Beal, Damian Lillard, Kyle Lowry, James Harden, Joel Embiid, Nikola Jokic, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Bradley Beal, Chris Paul, Kemba Walker, but pretty crazy. Obviously not sustainable either. Really not sustainable at 72.6% and only in a four-game stretch. But pretty crazy, especially that 16-for-20 game on Wednesday night certainly helped that out. So
my apologies to Ray Allen. My apologies to the Ricky Pierces of the world, the Dale Ellis's of the world, the Steve Kerr's of the world, the John Paxson's of the world, the downtown Freddie Brown's of the world, dating back to the 70s.
The Dell Curry's of the world.
The Dell Curry's of the world.
The Klay Thompson's
of the world. It's the greatest shooter I have ever seen in my life, because it doesn't matter where he is on the floor. It doesn't matter whether he's spotting up, coming off of screens, pulling up off the dribble. It doesn't matter.
Last one for you as I get out of here for the weekend. So the three players the Bulls have acquired via trade, Timothy Luwawu-Cabarrot, Otto Porter Jr., and also Wayne Selden, just from three-point attempts, just specifically looking at that, they are 36 for 81. That's 44.4% from three. Wayne Selden has about half of those attempts at 44. Otto Porter's only played four games. TLC's only played in five of those games. Maybe useless stat as well, but interesting to look at going into the All-Star break. Well, I think that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Thanks for hanging out with me here on this Friday. Hopefully you enjoy the Rising Stars game with Lowry Marketing going to be showcased tonight and all the festivities going into All-Star weekend. Be back on Monday with a fresh episode, kind of breaking down All-Star weekend and then pick up right where we left off with Bulls action late next week as well. Once again, thank you guys all for the compliments on the new intro. Like I said before, going to try to keep that as up-to-date as possible every couple of months, try to mix it up and change it up to keep it as up-to-date as possible. But without the person behind the beats, it wouldn't have been possible. So go give our friend at River Beats on Twitter, on Instagram, on YouTube as well. Subscribe to his YouTube channel at River Beats. He was the one, the mastermind behind the beat. So fantastic, fantastic work from him at River Beats again on YouTube, on Instagram, and on Twitter as well. So thanks again to our buddy River Beats. Go give him a follow. Go give him a subscribe on YouTube. We're live on Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls_Peck. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShibels. For Jordan and Maui, Bulls Nation, have a wonderful weekend. We'll be back on Monday with a fresh episode. We are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.